these lips of clay, Lord, for your glory. We ask God, Holy Spirit, come in and minister to our hearts and to our souls. Speak to us, O God, from your word. Lord, let not self be glorified, but you alone be seen this morning, Lord. Because you deserve all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We commit this message, this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those of you who have your Bible, I'm going to be reading mainly from the King James Version. Just turn with me to John 7, verse 37 and 38. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" And I just want to talk a little bit about the living water. Jesus is the living water. And I just want to talk just a little bit about the living water. And if the Holy Spirit, unless the Holy Spirit say different, I won't be very long. So just bear with me a little bit. I don't know if you have ever been to a place that has suffered severe drought. You know, I don't know if you have, but I had an opportunity to, some years back, to go to a place that had just finished going through a severe drought. And if you've ever been there, if you've ever been to a place where you can't get water, if you've ever been to a place where you could not, for any reason, be able to just get a cool, refreshing drink. For some folks live with that every day. They can't even go down to the, you know, we can go turn on the faucet and, you know, we can just drink some water. And if you look at the water and you see it look a little brown, you wonder, ooh, this is terrible. But for some people, that's what they drink every day. For some people, they don't even have that. There are many desert areas. There are places that have very little rainfall during the year. And just bear with me a little bit. You know, I'm just trying to just kind of set a stage. In those parched land masses, very few things live or grow. Where there's no water, very little grows. If you've ever been into a desert area, you find that there is nothing but sand. There may be some, a few creatures, there may be some cactus plants or something like that, but very little grows. It's a place that's arid, that's dry. And some years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Ethiopia, and I was excited about going to Ethiopia, but one of the things, right in the Horn of Africa, I was excited about going, went there with great anticipation. Unfortunately, Ethiopia at the time was just coming out of a severe drought. When I got there, the drought was just over, and they had just beginning just a few weeks before I got there, they had just started getting rain again. And you could see the impact and you could see the devastation that was caused by having that kind of a drought. Animals for those animals that were still alive, they were, you could see their bones. You could look at them and you could see that something devastating happened. The ground, although it looks like that the plants had just started to grow, but you could look at plants that were existing, that were there before, that were parched. All the leaves were gone. They were just about dying, and some were just beginning to be renewed. Why am I talking about water and about drought? Jesus here was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to the Jews. They were at the Feast of the Tabernacle. And this feast is a feast that's held every year. It was one that was called for by, that God had called for. In like manner as that drought, there is also spiritual drought. And a spiritual drought is something that we encounter. It's a barrenness, a type of barrenness that causes death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. There's a thirst that cannot be quenched by any ordinary means. We cannot go out to the faucet and get some water and quench this type of thirst that I'm talking about. In John chapter 7, Jesus introduced himself as that spiritual thirst quencher. Let's just take a look, a closer look at the text and what Jesus said. If we just take a look back at the text, he said, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let's just take this in different steps and in different stages, because there are three things that Jesus talked about. One, the condition of the folks who were there. One, there was a thirst. Two, he says, come. In order for your thirst to be quenched, there's something that you will have to do. And three, the solution, in order for your thirst to be quenched, you must drink. There is a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot force him to drink. Now let's take a look at the condition. The thirst. The Feast of the Tabernacle, the Jews were now celebrating one of the high feast days. This, that's mentioned in the Book of the Laws. The Feast of the Tabernacle, or the Feast of Ingathering, this feast was held the 15th and the 22nd of the 7th month in the Jewish calendar. This month is also known as Ethamim, which falls maybe around the fall in our calendar, maybe around October on the Julian calendar. If we go to Leviticus 23:33-34, we'll find there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. This festival was taking place. It takes place right around the time of harvest. And this was also the time when some people, even today, some folks, the Jews, they'll build tents in their yards, or they'll build tents and they'll sleep in the tents just as a reminder of what God had done. And it told about the time when they went through the wilderness for 40 years living in tents. Now, why was Jesus talking about water when they were at this festival? One, here they were reflecting on the wilderness experience. They were talking about their forefathers going through the wilderness, going through a time when they must have gone through severe thirst in their life. here were all these Jews gathered from all around, coming into Jerusalem for this high feast, for this high time of the Lord. Here they were, looking for that spiritual blessing, looking for that spiritual refreshing of their soul. And year after year, they would get more and more of the same. They would come in, they would go through the feast, they would go through the holy days, and yet they would leave as dry and as thirsty as they came before. But Jesus wanted them to know that there is something better here, and that he was the thirst quencher. Being thirsty is one thing. Knowing that you're thirsty is another. And there may even be folks who are among us who may be saying, but I'm not really thirsty. Talking about that same trip that I took to Ethiopia, and just to give you an example of being thirsty and not knowing it, I was on a flight from Ethiopia heading back home. And something happened that usually don't happen to me. I begin to get nauseous, begin to get very, got to the point, and I just finished eating, so I thought maybe the food wasn't right, and something got, was wrong, and was kind of blaming the airline, saying, this food was no good. But I looked around, nobody else was getting sick. So it wasn't the food. Several years later, I was on another trip coming from the United States into the UK, and the same thing happened. And the Lord just kind of let me know that I'm thirsty. I was dehydrated and didn't know it. How many of us think that we are okay, but not knowing that we have a thirst for spiritual things? Whenever there is a thirst for spiritual things, the Lord is left out. Things begin to happen in our lives, and we cannot understand why or what's happening. In verse 37, Jesus stood up and cried. He says, if any man thirst, the first thing that we're dealing with, the thirst. Many there have had a thought that Jesus was talking about the thirst, the physical thirst. But Jesus was going further than the physical. He was talking about a thirst for the true and living God. There are many who call them, whom, folks may call God today. One of the experiences that I've seen being here, I know of false worship, and I know of folks worshiping idol God, but I had not experienced it as I've experienced it here. I know of folks who worship money. I know of folks who worship popularity. I know of folks who worship many different things. And today, there is a thirsting for God. There are many in the entertainment world today who are seeking. They are wealthy beyond comparison, yet they're not satisfied, because there is a longing and a thirsting that's deep on the inside. Something that money cannot fix. We look at many who are wealthy beyond comparison, yet they chase after drugs. Drug addiction in Hollywood is almost at an epidemic rate. Why? They have almost everything physically that they need. They have the fancy cars, they have the big homes, but yet there is something missing, and they keep reaching, but they cannot be satisfied because the thirst quencher is missing. I don't know about you, sometimes if you've ever gotten so thirsty and you went to get a can of soda, you went to get some juice from the refrigerator, and you drink that, but you still weren't satisfied, you had to go get some water. Well, Jesus says that you need that type of thirst quenching, and the only one who can do that is Jesus Christ. Thirst. Thirst is an eager longing, a craving, a yearning. For those of you who are saved this morning, is there a yearning in your soul for more of Jesus Christ? In this case, there were two types of thirst. One is a deeper yearning for those who already know the thirst quencher. And then there was a thirsting for those who don't know. Jesus, in this case, was talking to those who did not yet know who just Jesus was, who this thirst quencher was. For years, they looked for the Messiah. For years, they looked for the one who would come to deliver them. But they were looking for one who would deliver them from the hands of the Romans, as opposed to one who would come to deliver their soul from hell. In order to understand who Jesus is and what he is all about, there must be an eager longing and a yearning for the things of God. Until we get to that point where we have that eager, that yearning for God, then we are missing something. Again, I thank God for Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We talk about, the announcement was just made about Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And also on Friday nights, where the Word of God is being taught, where the Word of God come forth. On Friday night and Tuesday nights, the saints get together and they seek the face of God. They seek more of God. Unfortunately, there's not a lot, folks, but just a handful who are seeking God, who are keep seeking God. And there is a hungering and a thirsting. And what I'm seeing is that the hunger and thirst, because God promises that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. On Wednesday night, there is Bible study. We're learning more and more about and getting deeper and deeper into the things of God. That's the kind of longing, the kind of thirsting, and the kind of seeking that God is looking for us to do. In John 4, in verse 15, like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, Jesus said to her, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." One thing about the water that Jesus gives is it is one that lasts forever. She was thirsty and wanted to have the refreshing water that Jesus spoke of. In verse 14, he says, Jesus said unto her, "But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. For those of you who have ever seen a spring bubbling out of the earth, it's a refreshing spring. The water is cold, it's cool, it's refreshing, and it comes out of the earth, and the earth purifies it in such a way that it's, you can just bend down, take it, and drink it, and be refreshed. In the same way, when Jesus gives us and the water of life, when he is the water of life in our life, then we also become a source to refresh others, to bring others unto him. So we see, he says, first, there must be the thirsting, the condition, the thirst. Second, there must be, there is the invitation. And the invitation is to all. Again, Jesus said, looking at the verse, he says, if any man thirst, let him do what? Let him come. See, I'm used to people talking back to me. you're a quiet bunch. Talk to me, you know. So Jesus said unto them, if you thirst, then you must, yes, you must come. Come signifies action. It signifies action. It means you must do something. Jesus came all the way from heaven. He came, he gave his life. As we were talking about in the communion, he died. He said the work is finished. And then he says, if you're thirsty, come. If you're thirsty, leave where you are. Come. Where you are may be the wilderness of despair. Where you are may be the wilderness of depression. Where you are may be the wilderness of fear. Where you are may be the wilderness of sin. But he says, if you're thirsty, if you can't find your way out, then what you need to do is leave where you are and come unto me. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. I don't know if you've ever seen a donkey that's heavy laden or a camel that's heavy laden with burden on them. Well, Jesus is using something similar. He says, if you are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and I will do something. I'll give you rest. In this case, if you are thirsty, and we all are thirsty, if we all are thirsty, so he's saying, come unto me, and I'm the thirst quencher. I'm the one who came to make sure that that thing that's in you that you cannot find the solution for, Jesus says, I'm the solution. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So what we need to do is to come unto him, to give all our burdens to him. Peter, writing in his epistle, he says, cast your burdens or cast your cares upon him because he careth, or he cares for you. Jesus cares about what happens to you. That's why he left heaven. That's why he left the splendor of glory, knowing that his destiny was a cross where he would be crucified. Knowing his destiny was to die. Knowing his destiny was to be beaten beyond recognition. Knowing that his destiny was to have a spear stuck through his side. Why? He was innocent. But yet he did it for you and me. Jesus identified before them the true condition of their soul. They were thirsty for something greater than what the Pharisee could offer. He identified for them that they were dying spiritually and they didn't even know it. There are many today, and maybe even some among us, who are in that same condition, dying in our sins and don't even know it. Dying and don't even know where to turn. Like the Samaritan woman, she was hopeless. If you go back and you look at the Samaritan woman, she went to the well in the heat of the day, in the middle of the day. That was unusual. Normally, you would go to, the women went to the well to draw water, not in the middle of the day, but in the morning or in the evening. But she had something to hide. She had something she was ashamed of. She knew what it meant to be abused. She knew what it meant to be taken advantage of. She knew what it meant for someone not to be liked. And so she was hiding. And so she went shamefully. But Jesus went there looking for her. He says, come. Revelation 27 and 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's the invitation. Come. Today, if you are missing that ingredient, if you're missing that thing in your life and you can't understand why, what can I do? What is missing? I've tried everything. Let me say, you know, I've tried, like Solomon says, money, I've got it. Wives, I've got it. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Riches, he's got it. Wisdom, he had it. He had all, he had his own zoo, as it were. Every type of animal, Solomon had it. Anything that his heart desired, he had it. And then he looked back, he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Because he understood that there was something missing. There's so many that are running after things, running after pleasure, running after whatever it is. But Jesus is saying, I'm the answer. Come unto me. Don't go that direction. Come to me. Because I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. When you're thirsty and you lack water, nothing else will satisfy. There are times, sometimes you get so busy doing things and doing all type of things, and I like to use examples. Sometimes I'm home and in the middle of summer, and it gets very hot during the summer back home. And I'm outside and I'm working on the lawn and I'm doing all type of stuff. And before you know it, I get so thirsty that the only thing that I can do, you have to get to the point where you say, I know I'm thirsty. You can keep going, but that thirst will kill you. But you have to get to the point where you realize that, okay, I have to stop doing, although I like what I'm, I have to stop what I'm doing, and I have to go find a solution for this thirst. But first, you have to understand and realize that you're thirsty. One thing about it is this thirst cannot be quenched by any other but by Jesus Christ himself. Moses was a very holy and righteous individual. You know, he went up to the mountain and he spoke with God face to face. One of the few that does that face to face. He told God, Lord, show me your face. And God spoke to him. When he came back down, his face shone. His face was shining in such a way that he had to put a veil over it. But yet, Moses could not quench, cannot quench the thirst that we have. Abraham was a man who God says is a friend of God. Abraham was a man of faith and he believed God. And because of that, God counted that for righteousness. Yet, that Abraham couldn't do it. All the prophets that we read about in the Bible, they could not do it. Only Jesus Christ is qualified to quench the thirst. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. There are folks who may be wondering, you know, why is it you Christian talk about only, you know, that's the only way because God said so. And because there's no other way given whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ that the thirst, that's a thirsting of the soul that can be quenched. There is an emptiness in us when we don't have God, when we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's an emptiness on the inside. And the only one who can fill that emptiness is Jesus Christ. I don't care what else you try to fill it with. It won't be filled. You won't be satisfied. Now the solution, he says, drink. I think one of the worst situations to be in is to be trapped in a place where you're surrounded by cool, refreshing water. You're sitting there for days, but you can't get to it or you can't drink it. Can you imagine? I heard about a story about a sailor who, a captain who was on a ship, all his crew lost his crew, and here he was, he drifted into an area where there was a river met the ocean. And he was dying of thirst. He was on the ship. And the ship was sitting right where there was the ocean on one side and a river on the other side. Yet he was dying of thirst. He looked, he saw the water, but to him it was all salt water. It was all ocean water, and he knew that he couldn't drink ocean water. But all he had to do was to go to the other side of the ship. And there was cool, refreshing water. And so many times we are sitting right there where there is a cool, refreshing spirit of Jesus Christ. The deliverance is there. Yet we won't even take a look in his direction. And so this captain almost died until someone passing by, he's asking, do you have any cool water? And he says, but there's water on the other side of your ship. There's a river. And only then could he, did he have the cognizance to go, get off board and get into the river and drink that cool, refreshing water. If we don't make the effort to take Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then many, sadly, there are many who would have spent time in church, who spent time, grew up in church, some of us, and yet because they refuse to drink, they have the source, they know the source, but they themselves never drank of that refreshing water that God offers. And because they have never taken it for themselves, then they have lost because they refuse to drink. And Jesus says, come unto me. Come. If you thirst, come. But not just come, but drink. Not just come, but drink. It's very important for us to make that first step. You may be saying, now, how do I drink? How do I go about drinking from this fountain that Jesus is talking about? Because you have to remember that not only is Jesus the source, but he's also the ultimate supply. Revelation 7 verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lamb, Jesus Christ himself. He is the source. He is the one that brought us. He's the one that bought salvation for us. He's the one that paid the price. And he is the one that gives us life. And all we have to do is come unto him. The invitation was more than just an invitation to come to the source of water. But in order for it to be effective, we must first drink. Here, water is a type of Christ. As we look back into, we talk about going through the wilderness. And as you went through the wilderness, there was something that happened. There was a rock that actually followed them through the wilderness. The psalmist let us know that apostle let us know that that rock was Christ that followed them. That was the rock that God told Moses to go and strike the rock, first of all. And the rock produced water flowing from that rock. Water that would feed the thirsty folks who were in the wilderness. It would feed the animals. But they had to drink. You know, he could have said, some of those folks in the wilderness could have said, well, how can this be? How can water come from a rock just like that? I don't want that water. And they would have died of thirst. Many may be saying, how can Jesus provide this type of salvation? How can Jesus be the only way? Well, if that's how we're thinking, then that means there is no hope. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. That's where we all fall. For all have sinned. I don't care who you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that did good, as it were. Psalmist let us know that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We are all spiritually dehydrated, fall short of the glory of God. Now, the conclusion, the result, satisfaction when we come to Jesus Christ. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And not only does he quench our thirst, but he also makes us to become springs of living water. The Samaritan woman knew that it, what it meant to be, as I said before, to be used and to be abused. She had come to the place where she could not trust any man. That was until she met Jesus. She had no hope before she met Jesus. For the first time in her life, she felt satisfied with this thirst quencher. Every other man that she met wanted something from her. But this one, this Jesus, didn't want anything from her. But he wanted to give her something. He wanted to give her the water of life. And so today, Jesus Christ wants to give us everlasting life. I know, most of you here know Jesus Christ and who he is. So I'm just reminding you that he is the thirst quencher. He has quenched your thirst. Yet there may be some of you here this morning who don't know nothing about this Jesus Christ, knows nothing about this thirst quencher, knows nothing about what I'm talking about. Well, I'm here to let you know that Jesus Christ is the one who died and gave his life so that you can be made free. No longer do you have to be under the influence of the enemy. But today you can have freedom in Jesus Christ. He is the thirst quencher. He's paid it all. And because he's paid it all, today we are satisfied. And we can be satisfied in him. Amen.